Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
So it is great to see you all. Are we all okay? Uh-huh. Think so? Maureen, do you have a copy of your book? Bring it up here. So Maureen Dinnan, come on, don't be shy. Anyway, I'll just show people. Brilliant. So Maureen has written a book. Have a look. Woohoo! Okay, and it's got Finding the Door. Now, Maureen, I know, is she's a really gifted teacher and has such a heart for the Word of God and for teaching the Word of God. Isn't that right, Maureen? And so I've known Maureen for ages, and she's got a really good person. Pastor James McConnell does the Maureen's Awesome, Go Buy Her Book, on the back of that. What's that called, a recommendation? Brilliant, absolutely. So it's absolutely fantastic. So what I'd recommend is you get a copy of this today from Maureen. Maureen, you'll be in the coffee lounge, will you, afterwards? So it's called Finding the Door. And if you're online this morning and you would like a copy of Maureen's book, I'd highly recommend you get it. Email office at Exchange Church Belfast, office at exchangechurchbelfast.com, and get Maureen's book. And do you know what? She'll probably even sign it today. Maybe even put lipstick on and kiss it for you. So you can open up the front cover and you have like Maureen's big red lips. Okay, wouldn't that be something? Do you charge extra for that? No. Wouldn't that be brilliant? So Finding the Door, Maureen Dinnan. Give her a big round of applause. It's a big thing to write a book. Well done, right? That's fantastic. She beat me to it. I can't believe it. And which is, no, I'm absolutely delighted for you, Maureen. So well done. And please go make sure you get a copy today in the coffee lounge. So listen, get your Bibles out. Remember when we come to the Word, it's about, you know, if you are online as well, don't be distracted and going down, you know, looking at pictures of people's dogs and eating their dinner and all that. Stay focused, because there's a moment that happens whenever you open the Word, and the Holy Spirit himself ministers grace upon grace into your life. And every time you open the Word of God and under the, you know, the leading of and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then what he will do is he will reveal Jesus and he will reveal grace to you. And in those moments, you walk away different. There is nobody who ever approached Jesus who was not hungry for the Lord, who ever walked away not being satisfied and filled. And it didn't matter what it was, whether it was physical, emotional, spiritual. You know, it doesn't really matter to the Lord, because he's above it all, and he's bigger than it all. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're hungry, if you desire, if you have a desire in you, then the Lord says, come and eat. You know, it's like he's laid a table before you. He says, come and eat, and you'll find what you need. And is that okay? And so so you can sit here and go, for your sake, and or you can go, right, come on. Bring it on. And actually, we're running late, so I'm going to have to go really fast. And I don't like doing that. So, blah, 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 blah. You know, wouldn't it be brilliant? Anyone listen to podcasts where you can go to like 1.25, 1.5? Wouldn't you love that? And I could just go like this. Blah, 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 blah. Judges 6. Blah, 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 blah. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, just make them fast forward so we can get on and get home for dinner. So I believe that. I believe that this morning. I'm going to make one point today. And I'm going to make it really, really clear, because I believe it's such a fundamental one that I don't want to rush past it. And I believe that actually, in this bit of the story that we've been looking at about how, in these days, will you dare to believe in God? Will you, you know, will you take the limits of God, no limits, and dare to believe that Jesus and his grace is enough for you? Not just for you, but think about your children today, whatever age they are. Think about your children's children. Think about your friends, your colleagues. Think about the situations that you might be facing today, medical or otherwise, and go, is his grace really enough? I mean, because if it's not, then you might as well go and play golf, all right? Or go to the park on a Sunday with the dog. Because if his finished work is not enough this morning, then where do we go? What do we turn to? We can't turn to the Lord. Who can we turn to? And so what I've been talking about is with our mate Gideon, right? I've been talking about how the Lord steps into Gideon's life. And I love Gideon because he's a bit of a basket case, right? Because there he is. He's afraid. He's in a wine press. And the Lord steps into his world and says, you know, despite how insignificant and powerless he feels, remember, I'm a wee man from the worst tribe, from the worst family. you know, and here's the angel of the Lord appears and says, Gideon, you're a mighty man. And Gideon goes, aye, dead on. Lord, if that was true, when what? Why does it all look like this? And I was encouraging over the last few weeks. It's okay to be honest with the Lord. Sometimes, because we do, it's in our hearts anyway. So stop pretending with them and going, oh yes, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, like Elimelech in the story before, God is mighty. But as soon as a bit of pressure comes, we do a bolter. And so what I was saying is that, you know, in Gideon, what we see is, you know, even though he may feel like that, and his feelings are not facts, that's just how he's feeling. Your feelings are not facts. Do you get that? That's why last week I talked about body, soul, and spirit in a roundabout way. And I said our soul realm is the seat of our emotions, where we feel stuff. But that is simply reflective in terms of what we are thinking about and believing on, what we're setting our mind to. So your feelings, whilst they will be strong and pull at you, are not always based in reality. Because when the Lord does a work, he does it where? Not in the soul, but he does it in your pneuma, in your spirit. And it's in that place that you are transformed forever, that you are holy and you are blameless. And that spiritual bit of you, the spirit man, will live forever. That's the bit that Jesus came for. And that's the bit of you that will live on. And it's that bit that we live from. Remember I said last week, what's Gideon's problem? He lives from the outside in, not from the inside out. Living in grace is about living from the inside out. The world is all about the other way around. And so it's like, if things are going well, we're all good, praise the Lord. If things are not going so well, not so good, oh my goodness, maybe God doesn't love me as much. And we go up and down like fiddler's elbows at times. And what I've been trying to say is, in these days, that's what's going on with the world today. That's just the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age is outside in living, and grace is inside out living. And grace is going, Lord, transform me. Show me, give me revelation, it says in Ephesians 3, as to what you have done in me. Let me see clearly who Jesus is and what he has done. Let me live in the light of that truth. And so what the Lord does is with Gideon, as Gideon's going, oh, it's not fair, and you're flipping this, and you've done that, and you never pulled through, and you've disappointed me, and you've let me down, and all a million things, right, is that the Lord goes, remember? Does the Lord go, oh, flip me, you're right. Oh, Gideon, come on, give us a chance. You know, he prophesies future. So at the point of our weakness, what the Spirit of the Lord does is go, this is where I'm taking you to. Your future is, your best days are in front of you. You might be feeling down right now, but let me say, when your mess meets his grace, then the result is that the Lord shows you hope and glory and future, so that you can get up every day with that belief or that something in you that goes, I've still got my best days to live. Amen? So if you're sitting here this morning, you have still got your best days in front of you. Despite how you're feeling, despite what is going on, whenever grace himself, Jesus himself meets you, he doesn't go down to the level of to give us pity, but he lifts us up and goes, this is where I'm taking you. Now, the issue is, I'm not going to drag you there. Will you dare to believe that my work in you is enough? Will you dare to believe with me? Will you? Or will you just go, I don't know. So that's where we got to today. So let's read a wee bit of the story here, because there's one thing that happens. So we've got to the bit right where hopefully if you've got that, and even in your own thinking, if you've realized even this week how much of the time you do live outside in, isn't it really common? Like, did you even find some days this week you're going, oh, this is all quite good. Other days you're going, oh, flipping Nora, help me out. Take me, Jesus. You know, this would be a great time for the rapture, Lord. Anyone? That was my Monday to Friday, basically, last week, okay? Praying for the rapture. And then you get to the Friday and you go, brilliant steak night tomorrow night, which was a disaster in our house because I had to cook three sets of... Can I just say, steak night was a disaster. Penny and I had words last night. And, well, not so much Penny and I had words. She said nothing and went to bed early, right? Just be... 7:30, she went to bed. No, she didn't. I'm only joking. It's because I had to cook the kids' dinner. Then I had to cook Ben's dinner. The kids being the girls. And then that all went wrong. And then, so I was cooking our dinner late on, and let's just say I wasn't in great form, right? Isn't that right, Penny? So Penny ended up putting her knife and fork down going, I've lost my appetite. And I went, me too. Because I couldn't even cook the dinner right. I was in such a rush, I made a mess of it. Do you know what I mean? So I quickly went from Monday to Friday, rapture, Lord, to, oh, steak night, that's good. Ireland beat the All Blacks. Thank you, Jesus. Today is a good day. To steak, like, and do you know what I mean? Is that the way it works at times? But what does the Lord do? The Lord goes, do you know what, Andrew? It's not right that you should have to cook three dinners. No, he doesn't do that. Welcome to Penny's world, right? It's not right. It's not fair, right? Penny's helpful suggestion was, well, you should just say to the children, they should all eat at the same time. To which I was, oh, Jesus, rapture me now. But it's all good, right? But I'm just being honest with you because the truth of it is that too honest? No? No, because it's life, isn't it? You go up and down all over the place, for goodness sake, but the Lord always comes along and goes, this is where I'm taking you to. This is where your best days are. This is why you've got hope today. So there's this bit in the story, right, where if you're going to dare to believe for God, watch what he does. Remember, the word is written so that we can go to it and have a look inside and go, right, Lord, as you dealt there, you're the same Jesus today that was moving here. And so I can pull and I can glean from how you dealt with people like Gideon, and I can learn for myself today. Where does he start? He starts with identity. I've already talked about that. You are not what you do. You are not your failure. You are not your success. You are who he says you are. You're holy, blameless, perfected forever. You are the sons and daughters of the King of Kings today, amen? And so because of Jesus, that will never change. You will never, ever, let me just say it, because people argue about this all the time, it's complete nonsense. I absolutely 100% believe the day that you encounter Jesus, he sealed you for eternity. And if you were saved once, you are saved forever, all right? And nobody's ever going to undo that. If your sin could not get you into the place where he loved you, then your sin will certainly not get you out of the place where he will love you still, all right? You're always loved. And so what happens with Gideon is the Lord meets him there, and he goes, this is who you are, Gideon. You might be feeling this. You might be going up and down right now, but that's not you, because you are who I say. What my lens, my view is the truth, and not how you're feeling right now, even through your disappointment. So then actually what he does is he gets to the root of the disappointment in the very next scene. It's very interesting. I'm going to take this really slow, not because I think you're slow, although, terrible. I'm getting the eyes there from the back, from the northern contingent down there. But it's to go, not so much, I could rattle through three chapters here and go, boom, 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 here's the background, and I've done all that, learned it all, know it. But actually, I kind of felt like actually the Lord needs to do something in your heart this morning. There needs to be a wee bit of a moment and a shift. Because without that, what we'll do is we'll just keep repeating, we keep replaying the same scenes. But actually, there's something, where does that living up and down come from? Right? Because the Lord's going to take him on the journey. So he's promised Gideon your best days. I'm going to use you to deliver the whole of Israel. Gideon's going to write that on. You think about what the Lord speaks over your life. I'm going to use you, David, to take media to the whole of the church in Ireland, UK and beyond, and to tell this picture of grace. And you might go, well, write that on. How's that going to work? I might love it, but how's that going to work? You know, you know, even the gospel as far as Newton Orange. I mean, is it possible, Lord, that you could use me for that? For them heathen people down. Remember the Philistines, six toes, six fingers? All from Newton Arts, right? So it's a wee local one. People online are going, what? People in Newton Arts have six fingers. So how do you get to the root? Well, let's read, okay? And let's go to Judges 6, 25. That night the Lord said to him, take your father's bull. So what's happened is after Gideon's kind of talking to the angel, he brings goat and bread, and he puts it on a rock, and he wants a sign. And so they touch the tip of this stuff, and it goes up in a big flame, and it's all consumed, this thing of sacrifice. I'm not going into it because I want to look at this one. All right, so now after that, he goes, that night the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old. This is, do we have the verses up there, please? And pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold here, with stones laid in due order. then take the second bull. Now, here's what I'm going to say. There is so much stuff around first and second bulls. And if you are a student of any kind of the Bible, people will be going, there's two bulls. Actually, it's probably not. There's probably only one bull. So most of the people agree. Most of the people who are smart go, it's a thing of language. But it's actually take one bull, and it's the best bull. It's 7 years old. And everyone knows what seven is, the number of perfection and completion, right? So take the perfect bull, which will be laid as an offering, and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you will cut down. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. Now, when the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was the altar was broken down, and the Asherah beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And you kind of go, what the heck, right? Because if you want to think in your life, why is it that I sometimes cannot believe God for more? What is it? Where's the root of that? Because surely if I could deal with the root, then I'll be able to get freedom and learn to grow into more grace. Isn't that right? But if I don't get to the root, what I'll find is I'm continually like cutting a hedge or a bit. I'm continually cutting on the outside, but never getting to the root of it. The word is very clear. In Proverbs 29:28, it says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Now, the word fear here is anxiety, but the fear of man lays a snare. That it's the Hebrew word nakush, and that is a trap or a noose for an animal. You understand? An animal would walk in, it would tighten around their neck, and it would pull, and then they would be caught. And what I want to say to you today is that the fearing man and fearing and having other things, and primarily for us it is about the fear of man. You'll see that in Gideon. And I'll explain it in a moment, is one of the biggest hindrances in our lives. And the point is that we're going to see here is if you live insecurely and you feel like you're going up and down all the time, if you feel like your life's on a roller coaster, this is why what is actually happening is there's something there which has been elevated above the work of grace in our lives. So the word of grace is truth. Jesus and his word is truth. And if you find in any way there's insecurity, a lack of hope, well, it's under the influence of a lie, which means that grace is not at work. Do you understand that? And so what the Lord's going to say to Gideon is, I'm going to show you, I'm going to bring you to a place where you're going to set the whole nation free, but I want to go to the root of it in your life. I'm calling you up, I'm not going down to your level, but let me take you in steps and stages and help you to grow into grace. Because there's one thing is for sure, when the Lord called him, it wasn't like he was going, Gideon, I'm going to do this in you so that you're able. He was positioning Gideon for more grace. So in your life, when he comes to you and he starts to speak about those things which are in the center, the things that are, you know, I'm going to say, they actually tar over grace. You're going to see it in a moment because we allow them to. That's when the Lord says, let me come and actually show you how to get rid of those. Because, you know, the Bible calls it idolatry, actually, but what it simply means is this. You know, when we want, desire, or lean into something more than what we do into the work of grace, then the result in our lives is that we live insecurely and we live up and down. And there's no way we can dare to believe God. We'll want to believe God, but in terms of actually stepping in and daring to really put everything we have on the line according to what we've heard in grace, to really believe him, we'll not do it. And so the Lord wants to deal with that. Because, you know, what we see here is we see these are steps of preparation for final deliverance. Remember, this is God's ultimate plan in Gideon's life. He's going to use him like he wants to use you to do something incredible for God. He wants you in this generation. Remember all that stuff? But I do believe in this generation. Look at North. Do anyone think our country's half crazy? Honestly, does anyone ever stop and listen and go, are we buck daft? Like, seriously? No? Listen to Stephen Nolan for anything more than 4 minutes this week, and you'll go, Lord, beam me up. Seriously, beam me up, Scotty. Get me out of this place. How many years after the Good Friday Agreement? And we're getting worse. Yes or no? Yeah. Isn't it crazy? Doesn't this show you why we need grace in this generation? Why we need something else other than you're this, and I just don't get it. Well, I do get it. Do you know why? Because the heart without Jesus is just completely corrupt. That's the bottom line. And we'll find tribes wherever we go, but I just go, Lord, if there's ever a time where men and women like you lot, who might be going, discount me, I'm not good enough, I'm full of this, and the Lord keeps speaking into your life, and you're going, no, I'm not sure, Lord, show me a sign. But actually, God's plan is bigger than what you think on any particular day, and he wants to use you. Do you know that? He wants to partner with you. He wants you to capture this so that our country, my kids and your grandchildren, don't grow up in a country as dysfunctional and as completely mental as the one that we grew up in. You know, do you know what I mean? I don't want that for my children. I don't know about you. Do you want it for your grandchildren? Or do you want to see the goodness of God in the land of the living? Do you want to see the favor? We've sung about it. Do you want to see it? Do you want to walk into it? Do you want to taste it? Do you want to live in the goodness every day? For me and for my children and for my grandchildren, I want them to see the blessing of God, the safety and protection of God. I want them to live in the goodness of God, whole and healthy before God, their families blessed, their homes blessed, their work blessed. Does anyone give me an amen for that? That's the country that I see. And you know what? We're not going to stand here like some Christian nutcases at times. I'm sorry, that's too strong. No, it's not. You know, standing there and going, yo, Lord, send revival and send the rains. He's already done it. The work is done. Do you get that? We'll have all the revival that we can cope with whenever men and women like you and me capture something of God's grace in our lives. And simply, instead of limiting God by going, people are bigger, their opinions are bigger, and I'm afraid of them, but actually stand in the fullness of grace and simply share what God has done, I'm telling you, we won't be able to cope with the revival that goes on around us. Do you get us? Revival, I'm going to say this, doesn't come by begging God. It doesn't come by praying special prayers. It doesn't come because you fast. Jesus is more interested today in the lives of men and women, in their hearts and their eternities, than any of us will ever be. Do you know how we know that? He demonstrated it and proved it by coming and living amongst us as one of us and dying a death on a cross, taking all the sin, all the sickness, and all the sin of all humanity for all eternity on his own shoulders to show to the world that he loved them. And we don't need to beg God. We don't need to plead with God. We don't need to do any of that. We need to align with his heart, which is grace above all. Amen. Now, God bless the people who want to stand and do that. But I go, listen, tell me about your God who's holding back today. You know, many of us feel the same way, don't we? We feel that God is holding back. You know, if I can just tip the scales in favor, then surely God will move. He's already moved. What more do you need Jesus to do? Honestly, what else do we need him to do today? We don't. What we need is men and women like here, like we see in this story, who kind of go, right, Lord, I might be feeling this up and down, but it's not about me. It's not. It's about your purpose. It's about your calling on my life, all right? And it's about me understanding that even though I might feel like I am anything but the final, you know, deal, all tied up in a bow and Christian enough, it was never about me in the first place. It was about you loving this world. Yeah. And you're going to use me with all my wrinkles, all my mistakes, all my feelings, all my attitudes, all my this, that, and the other. The Lord goes, it doesn't matter. My grace is bigger than that. Now let's just align and let's see what I can do through you. Yeah. Amen? No? By all means, go up a cave hill and pray all you want. That's brilliant. But I'm just asking you, what kind of Jesus is holding back on his people today? Because I can't see it anywhere in the Word. Bring me to the Word and show me where the Lord's holding back in these days. Anyone? Somebody's going to email in, actually, Pastor, in Hezekiah chapter 49, verse 2, the Lord said, I shall hold us back until I pray. Oh, but if we will humble ourselves and pray, then you'll heal our land. That's why we need grace, you know? Divide the word properly, folks. We live in the goodness of the cross. Yes. We live in the finished work of the resurrection of Jesus and his grace. We are new covenant believers, not new covenant with a whole lot of the old mixed in to keep us in complete servitude. We are born of grace, all right? Spiritually reborn, as Jesus is, so are we. Amen? Anyway. That's got nothing to do with talk. Anyway, let's go back in. So, but I'm just kind of going, listen, at these points, right, I go, if we've got to capture something of this. We've got to capture that it's bigger than us, not limited by us and not limited to us. I don't want us to be that kind of people. I want us to be people who grace has so changed us, right? That we just take a whack at it because we know we take a whack at sharing grace. We take a whack at invitation. We take a whack at praying for the sick. We take a whack at, you know, taking this good news and letting the Lord do something incredible through us. Not limiting him by going, because you know what this is all about this morning? Let me get back to the story. This is why we feel a wee bit like Gideon. The first thing that the Lord says is get rid of the Asherah pole. And watch the response of Gideon. You kind of go, well, if you don't know what the Asherah pole is, let me explain it to you. When the Lord says, Gideon, lift your head up. This is where I'm taking you. And now this is what I want you to do, right? Gideon's first response is, uh-oh, what will the people think? What will they think? That's his first response, right? His first response is, what are they going to feel? Maybe you feel like that as well when God's speaking to you. Stand up, make a change. In that moment, share. Give some grace. Invite that person. You know, talk about Jesus. Talk about his goodness. And our first response is, what will they think? Isn't that right? I know for me, don't be surprised if your pastor says this morning, I sometimes feel like that. I have those moments of going, can I really say this? The majority of us reckon on what will they think, and most of us then limit God, because what's actually going on there is in our hearts, those people and their opinion is bigger than what God is calling us to. That's all it is. It's not difficult. And here's the thing, right? The Asherah pole, who was Asherah? What was the pole about? This was a pole that sat right in the middle of the village, and Asherah was the goddess of fertility. And they would have prayed to Asherah. So what they did was interesting. They had Yahweh, and they had Asherah, and they had multiple gods, and they all ran side by side. And just exactly like us today, you have Jesus and his work, but then you have the opinions of others, which are functional gods, because they determine how we behave and how we get on. And we've got and we look to all these multiple things as well as Jesus, if we're honest. And what the Lord says is, I don't operate like that. Let's cut away the things that take my place. Because Asherah was the goddess of fertility. They would have prayed to Asherah because Asherah was responsible for crops, herds, provision, bounty, increase, and fulfillment. And what was happening was, because it was in the center of the village, the normal life went on around in the shadow of the pole. Do you know what I mean? So they would have been having babies, getting married, educating their kids, making food, looking after their crops. And it was all under the shadow of this pole. So it's almost like this shadow, that this pole cast a shadow over all of life. And so what happens is, why does the Lord say, you're not going to believe for me in this? Because here's the truth. Was it working for them? Remember, we're in the seventh year of the Midianites running riot over them. Gideon is in a pit in the ground in a wine press, afraid, hiding away in case what he's working with his hands. And so the question that we see here in the Word is, you can live like that with something shadowing over your world. Things that promise increase, things that promise bounty, things that promise safety. Because you know one of the reasons why we back off from sharing grace is because we're actually looking for safety and protection. We're going, don't reject me if I share this with you because it might not be your view. And so I don't want you to reject me and think that I'm an agent. Right? So what we've done in those moments is we've actually bought into the lie that we're safer and more protected by not putting ourselves into a place where somebody's opinion might cut across us. But the desire in it is just for safety, not physical safety there, but emotional safety. That's all that's going on. So what we have is the opinion of others can sit like a big shadow over us. And the crazy thing is it doesn't work. So it's not like the Lord going, I'm not going to share. You know, he doesn't share his glory with anyone else. But the point is, functionally and in real life, they had this thing casting a shadow over them. They prayed for bounty and protection and fullness and provision and crops and herds. And with alarming regularity in a cycle, the Midianites came and cleaned their clock. They took everything like a herd of locusts, stripped everything from them. And so the Lord says to you today, like he says to Gideon, if you're going to believe me, Gideon, Let's not have anything that you are giving your heart to and your attention to, which is promising you everything and delivering nothing. Why don't we take an axe to it? Why don't we take an axe to it? And that's where we're going to have to stand and go, His grace is enough. It's the irony, isn't it? These things are powerless. They're counterfeit. So after the Lord establishes identity, he then says, let's take an axe to the thing, which is what? Nakush, that which traps you like an animal. But we have God's people under grace trapped like animals today, some of us. Why? Because we have to allow, now I'll just very quickly, because we're running out of time already. You know, God appears to him and says, look, these things are not going to deliver. We think the approval of people is going to sustain us. It doesn't. People are fickle and they will turn on you. That's the truth. Lead a church for 5 minutes and you'll find out all about it, all right? But just do life and you'll find out all about it. People are fickle. But what happens is God says, listen, stop giving yourself to things that will never deliver what you need. If you're going to really stand and believe in my grace and what my grace can do in you, then let's deal with the things that cut underneath. These functional gods, let me just tell you what does he do? Well, if we go back and we read, it says so. So he does it at night. You know what I love about this? Like, Gideon still doesn't get it. And even though he doesn't get it, the Lord never gives up. That's good news for you this morning. See, even though you don't get it, and it's like the Lord going, I'm speaking to you, I'm showing you, I'm promising you, but I still feel afraid. The Lord doesn't go, oh, for goodness sake, this wee man's a waster, honest to goodness. I am wasting my time. St. Peter, come on, have a look at this buck agent. I've showed him, I even put the goat and the bread and I zapped it with fire. Like, go home and try that today. Say, Lord, if you're really here, consume this Ormo pan loaf and this packet of ham, right? Go for it. And honest to goodness, see if your work surface goes boom with the fire of God. I don't think many of us would be doubting it for the next 6 months or a year. You'd be like, isn't that right? You'd be like, oh my goodness, what happened? That loaf became toast in front of me. Yeah, Gideon's getting it time and time again. And he's still going, sure, but the Lord is so faithful. Just keeps going, Gideon, come on. Come on, your feelings are not facts. Your feelings are not facts. I'm going to keep meeting you, encouraging you, loving you. You're going to make it. Can I just say to everyone this morning, you're going to make it. You might have thought this week that you weren't going to make it, but you're going to make it. You're not going to fail. You're not going to fall over. And you're not going to come short. Every thought like that is a lie from the enemy. Every thought like that is to put you off your divine purpose. But the Spirit of the Lord says, your feelings on any particular day are not the fact. Who I say you are is the fact. So let's not be silly and keep giving ourselves, letting things cast a shadow over us. The Lord says, you know what my grace will do? What's the sacrifice? What do they use to pull down the Asherah pole? The sacrifice. The 7-year-old bullock, a picture of Jesus. So the only thing that will pull down the opinions of others and the fear of man in your life is not resolution or rationalization or effort. It's a big dose of Jesus and his love for you. Where we're more consumed by who he says we are and who he is himself. Because it's, you know, I'm going to just tease this up for next week. Is this okay? I know it's a bit of a quickie this week, but it's to go, actually what they use is the sacrifice. What pulls down those things in our lives is the sacrifice of Jesus, is the love of Jesus, is the work of grace. And they won't run side by side. There comes a point where the Lord will keep bringing us back to things, keep bringing us back to, you know, I'm going to say issues or struggles or challenges, not to beat us over the head with them, but to go, you know, it's all about freedom. I'm going to lead you to freedom. I'm going to bring you to freedom. I'm going to work through you. I'm going to work out my good purpose in you. But you're not going to do it through your own effort. You're not going to do it by rationalizing. You're going to do it by letting me love you from the inside out. Because it's the sacrifice, the perfect 7-year-old bull, which will be sacrificed on in the place of this, right? That's why Paul says in Ephesians 3, you know, let me read it to you, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know, Genosko, experience the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. And so I want to encourage you this week that after Jesus talks to you about who you are, the next thing he says is there will be things that even if I've said this morning, and we're going to finish now, there's things that I'll have even said this morning where you go, I know what my thing is. I know what my issue is, Andrew. I know the thing that I keep coming back to that I can't break free from. It might be a pattern of thinking. It might be the opinions of other people. It might be fear in a particular area. It might be sickness. It might be condemnation from your past. These things that cast a shadow. And they limit our ability to believe God. And that's why you live insecure, because you're living under their shadow. And it's interesting that the grace and these things can run together, but the Lord wants to bring grace, wants to bring the work of Jesus to that higher place. All right? And actually what I would say is this, is, you know, the world's way of doing this is to go, where I have my fears, where I have my anxieties, there's lots of help out there that people in the world go to. But all it does is it manages us in the soulish realm and doesn't get to our spirit realm. It's all whether it's medicinal or, you know, cognitive thinking, all it's doing is trying to manage our soul. Do you get that? The Lord goes, let me go to the root and let's cut this thing out by the root. Let me bring you back to your spirit, man, the eternal you, and show you that you're holy, blameless, loved forever. And that'll never be undone by what you do. And the more that becomes real, the more time we invest in allowing our hearts to be aligned to that truth, right? I honestly believe this. See, every day you take communion in your homes or at work or whatever, and I hope you do. Every time you take communion, this is what the Lord showed me this week, this I'm done. Every time I listen to that song of praise and thanks, every time I, like every verse that I read, right? What happens in us? It's just the axe being laid to everything else. And sometimes the thing about cutting a big tree down, because some of these things are big in our lives. Some of these things have big, deep roots and go really high. And the thing is, sometimes we lose hope because when we're just cutting, when it feels like the Lord's cutting bit by bit, you know, that verse, did that do any good there? Let me tell you something. Have a picture of that pole. And every time you read, every time you take communion, every time you listen to a sermon on grace, every time you, even if it's one verse every day, boom. What's happening is, as grace is being lifted and elevated in your life, that which is towering over you is going to fall. Amen? Do you believe that? That's the hope that we have in this story, because that's what the Lord will do. Because if we don't allow the Lord to do that, that's why we live insecure. That's why we live up and down. And the Lord says, for my people, enough's enough. I honestly believe 2022 is a year of your freedom like you've never seen it before. The Lord says enough to fear. Amen? The Lord says enough to worry. The Lord says enough to anxiety. The Lord says enough to lack. The Lord says enough to sickness. The Lord says enough to dysfunction, because you live in the year of my favor, because you're loved. And that will never change. That will never be altered. And so I'm calling you not to allow the work of the enemy to shadow over you, but to stand and learn and grow and become bigger in my grace. Amen? Why don't we stand up? I'm going to lead us in communion. And come on your feet, and if you're online, I hope you enjoyed that this morning, online people. Online people of the world. So, sorry with remembrance. We tend to run a wee bit over, but take your communion, And take this bread in your hands, put it up in front of you like this, and go, look at that, all right? That's the body of Jesus broken for you today. And because that body was broken for you, you can walk in all the fullness and the health and the completeness of Jesus himself. As he is right now, seated at the right hand of his Father, the Lord says, so are you. So wherever you're sick, wherever there's dysfunction, wherever there's brokenness right now, what we want to say is, Father, we bring these things to you, Lord, and we thank you for your body broken. Thank you that by your stripes we are healed, Lord. Thank you that, and just even if you want to say the condition, okay, say it under your breath, say it out loud to me. Thank you, Lord, that this condition, whether it's cancer, tumor, whether it's respiratory, whatever it happens to be, in Jesus' name, is healed right now. We believe it from the inside out, Lord. As you are, so are we. Thank you that by your stripes, we are healed. Amen. And Father, we thank you for the cup. Father, thank you for the cup this morning, which reminds us that even one drop, just one drop of your blood was enough. Father, we thank you that your blood washes us, cleanses us, makes us brand new. Father, we thank you that our future is secure. Lord, we thank you that our eternity is secure because of your blood. Why? You've made us righteous. Our declaration today, Lord, is we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are holy, we are blameless, perfected forever by your incredible, beautiful work. And so we say thank you, Lord. We receive and we drink. Amen.